Well, welcome back to another episode of Decoding 40.
I'm hosting, bro.
Oh, you're hosting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you could just introduce Al, and then he'll...
Go ahead, yeah.
Good. I thought I had to host.
Are you going to introduce me or not?
This is a new motherfucking intro. Just the one, don't want the voice on the show. Is it out? Have a new motherfucking intro. And so sit back, enjoy the show.
Welcome to Decoding 40.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that magnificent intro, so you know what time it is. It is time for the greatest podcast, the hottest streaming podcast in the world. We happen to call it Decoding 40. This is your humble host this week, L.O. There's no AKA, but I beg of you to consider that I have grown mentally, not physically, 1 degree smarter, and I'm happily joined with two of the most amazing gentlemen in the podcasting industry, and they go by the names of...
It's your boy, Vin, in the building. Hope everybody's good out there. Peace.
This is Alaric. I have a question about that 1 degree of...
It's the part of my checking. Listen, I am a writer that puts seeds in my words that will flourish later. So before we get into the show, obviously there's always some housekeeping to get done. We want to invite everyone to text us at 619-940-4040. If you want to send us an email, it's decoding40@gmail.com. You can always get your popping new merch at decoding40pod.com. New merch every Monday. Let's call it Merch Mondays. So the show drops on Fridays and new merch is on Monday when you've had a chance to laugh your ass off over the weekend. We also have a newsletter that's dropping. It's called NEET, N-E-E-T, that will be covering all the things that you need to know to make your life just a little bit better. And if you want to write, make sure you reach out to us on decoding40@gmail.com. We will be accepting submissions on a rolling basis. With that said, gentlemen, any housekeeping you want to attend to?
Just want to let everybody know out there that I started a GoFundMe for my boy Andre Dow, who's he's still in the hospital. He's got a long road ahead of him, and I want to thank everybody out there who's already contributed. A lot of people have given to the cause. We really, really appreciate it. I know his wife does. So just keep on giving. If you can go to GoFundMe and just look up Andre Dow. Andre is A-N-D-R-E. Dow is D-O-W. You can find it in your heart to give whatever you can as a donation. You know, his family, his wife would greatly appreciate it. I know Dre would as well. So that's pretty much my housekeeping.
That's amazing. And continued prayers and to him and his recovery.
No doubt.
Special shout out to you, Dre, because I know you're listening. You always had our back, always a big supporter of the show. So
no doubt.
We're pulling for you, bro.
No doubt.
So who would like to start the check-in?
I'll actually go first. This week has been, I think what happened was whatever Rick had left over in car energy kind of came over to Jersey and stuck its dick in my face because I had one of the weeks, car weeks from hell. All right. It started off with I go to the auto parts store to get some brakes and some rotors. So I could take it to the mechanic near me. He can install them, front brakes done, for like $300-something. The guy puts the brakes on the car, and within 24 hours of him putting the brakes on, I'm hearing the shit's grinding. And I'm like, why the fuck are these shits grinding, right? So I said, let me rock out a couple days because it could just be they knew, you know, who knows? Mm-hmm. Let it get a little adjustment, all right?
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Shit is getting worse. It sounds like I'm a jet, like, stopping on a runway when I'm stopping in my car. That's how my shit is sounding. And I'm, you know, I'm driving Uber, so I know people in the back. Jesus, I hope this nigga's car can stop. Take his car. I mean, it's nice on the outside. He's, you know, he's got the tents in the back. I feel great, but this nigga's car is
2 stars. Crazy. Why? This car
just brakes. I think his brakes sounded like they weren't going to stop. I was concerned.
Wait, were they squealing or grinding?
They were doing everything.
No.
Everything that that bad brakes can do. So I take the car back to the guy. I think he did them on a Friday or whatever. I forgot when he did them. But I took it back to him like the following Tuesday. I was like, look, man, these shits is grinding. I don't know what the fuck's going on, B. You got to take a look. Dude says, all right, I'll take a look. 30 or 40 minutes later, yeah, why don't you come back to the spot? It's like, oh, boy. He's like, he tells me on the phone, yeah, man, the brake shoes, he's got these. Yeah, man, the brake shoes and the rotors, they're bad, man. They're bad.
Wait, the ones you just bought?
The ones I just bought. I was like, what the fuck you mean they're bad? He's like, look, I'm going to tell you this right now. He sold you some cheap pads or some cheap rotors because it's already, he says, it's already discoloring the rotors and it shouldn't be doing that. Like, they shouldn't be getting that hot.
Where'd you get the parts from?
I got the parts from an actual auto store. And I went in there. I was like, I want 2016. And he gave me one brand of brake pads and another brand of rotors. But they all for the
So these are brand new. This is not new. On clearance. And when this I say clearance, there's a dude named Clarence that's outside of
these
the order.
Brand new.
Okay. All right.
As far as I know, they came in a box. I brought them to the mechanic. The mechanic installed them and it sounded like this.
Okay, got it. All right.
And he didn't do anything any different than he's done for me before because he's done my brakes before and never had a problem with them.
Got it.
So I know it wasn't him. I'm like, because why would he wait for this time to fucking say, I'm going to put bad brakes in this nigga's car?
All right. I was just trying to get to the point. Are these still under some type of warranty?
Well, I had to go back to the store that I got the brakes and pads from.
I told you that you can only use these brakes on planes, nigga. Why you put them on your car?
No, what it was.
Oh, I thought you said a 2016 G5.
I thought this is a G5 jet, nigga, not a Nissan. I thought you had a Nissan jet.
But I go back to the auto parts store. You said the chop shop. Auto parts store, and the mechanics was like, yo, you should use these brands because this shit right here, it's like ceramic and the brake pads. He's like, they're a little bit more money, but they're not going to make any sound like this. And he said, it's the same brand. Like, you don't take one brand of pads and give me another brand of rotors. Like, you try to stay within brand. Like, why the fuck would he give you two different types, right? So I go back. I had to pay a $70 difference because the other brand was more expensive. I put them shits on, and it drives like a dream. Right.
Oh, okay. All right.
So now the brake problem is finished. After I got the brakes and started having a problem, I went and got tires, brand new fucking tires for the car. Yesterday, I'm driving Uber, my last ride of the day. Like, so I can make my bonus. I can go home, chill. I was going to get on my game. I come around this fucking curve and I hear boom, doom, 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 doom. And I'm like, that don't sound too good. Get on the highway. I don't hear anything going down the highway. By the time I get to the area where I have to drop this woman off, the fucking tire alarm comes on my car. Now I'm driving the street and I'm watching the fucking tire go from 25% to like 16% in like 2 seconds. And I'm like, oh shit, I got something in the tire. Brand new tire. Let me tell you, when I say these tires are not even 5 days old and I got something hit, I hit something right off of Montgomery. It's basically the on-ramp to 78 West. This fucking thing over there, the streets in Jersey City are so fucked up with potholes and everything. I made a video and put that shit on my IG talking directly to the fucking mayor, Mayor Fulop. He's full of shit is what he is because he's building all these fucking buildings. Yeah, full of shit. He's building all these buildings, but there's debris everywhere. Yo,
is
I don't
this
know
video
what the
made after this event with your tire or before?
No, this happened before.
Okay.
This happened before because I was hitting potholes and I was like, I just got these tires. Hit this thing. Boom, wind up, I had to change my tire last night, which is a pain in the ass. Luckily, the jack and everything was in the car. I fucking get home. Then today I wake up, go to my fucking local fucking thing where I got the fucking tires, Costco. I'm there for 3 hours for these indignants to tell me that, oh, we can't really operate on the fucking thing because the shit is ruined because whatever the fuck you hit is destroy the tire and we don't have the tire in stock.
Yikes.
After I wait 3 fucking hours. And then I'm like, dude, you got to get the tire. I'm like, the fuck, yo, this is my livelihood. I need to fucking get this tire fixed. Well, best case scenario, we get it tomorrow. Worst case is 3 to 5 days. I said, the way my luck is going right now, let's say 3 to 5 weeks, right? So I can't fucking fuck with you motherfuckers.
3 to 5 weeks.
Right? 3 to 5 weeks by the time, you know what I'm saying? Oh, we had to make the tire. It's in India right now. And actually, the elephant that killed the old lady is playing with it. So, like, I don't have time for the bullshit, right? So I fucking, like, dude, you got to find a tire. He says, all right. He calls the Union Costco. Union says, yeah, we got the tire. Tell him to come down here. So now I got to drive.
Were you on the call or was it on speaker?
No,
is that how we
no I just, that's
oh, my okay. voice. I was like, wow.
You know, that
sounds like he's a crime boss.
That was a Union accent.
Tell him to come down here. Sound like a crime boss. I got tires for days. So I get down. So he calls up the Costco and Union. They actually have the tire. Now I got to drive to Union, which is like 12 miles from where I was at.
And to be clear, you're on a donut at this point.
On a donut at this
okay.
point.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, I'm driving. I'm very cautious. Like, one pothole could just end the whole day.
Yeah.
Like, literally. And there's potholes abound on the way to Union. So I finally get to Union. They put the tire on. And, you know, a few meltdowns aside, it's just been a hell of a week. And I'm glad that I was able. I mean, I didn't want to spend my fucking at morning and afternoon perusing the Costco's, you know.
You know what I mean? Like, did you get yourself some Kirkland jeans?
Listen, how many times can I look at those Puma sweatpants and go, you know, I think I could pull those off. I think I could pull those Puma sweatpants off from Costco.
You cannot.
Why not?
No one can.
Why not? Them shit says Muma. I know it says Puma. It says Muma, you know. And that's pretty much my check-in.
Thank you, sir.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's good, people? This is your boy, L.O., a.k.a. The Ad Man. If you like this show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
I went to go see a voodoo priestess last week, and I asked her to remove all this bad juju car stuff and transfer it to someone else, and I guess it worked.
Nice.
And sorry, Vin. Because I got my car back. Oh, I was so happy when they called and they said, please come pick up your vehicle.
Mm.
And
did your car know you?
No. I had to reintroduce myself.
Mm.
Who's this nigga?
All these other guys that have been fondling me. Who is this one now?
Oh, now you want to come back and see me? You left me for 5 months with these bastards. They were fondling me. They drove everywhere. They smoked weed inside of me. I know they're bastards.
You know, the guy over at the dealership calls me and says, everything's clear. You can come pick up your car. You just have to bring in a bank check for the deductible. It's 3:30 on a Friday afternoon, and I'm just driving back from Stamford, Connecticut. I just landed in the city.
Mm.
How do you expect somebody to get a bank check at this time of the night? Like, the bank's literally about to shut the door, and I'm supposed to drop my life, go get a bank check, and then come to the dealership.
Yes,
well, the dealership was open on the weekends?
It's open from 7:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. on Saturdays, but the kids have their Saturday classes, and that runs from 12:30 to 2:30. I'm not doing all of that. I can't go to the bank, get a bank check, but go to the dealership, then do all of this other stuff in my life. So we're like, you know what? We'll just go on Monday. So Monday, I have to catch a flight, but the flight, it's a late flight. It's at noon. So my wife and I have my mother-in-law come over, take the kids to school, and 7:30, we're going over to the dealership. Oh, because now they said, oh, you don't have to have a bank check. You just have to write out a check. But because my wife's name appears first on the insurance, her name is the one that's on the check because they won't put both names on the check.
Who won't put both names on the check?
Just for space, I guess.
You're saying the bank won't do this?
Whoever's writing the check.
He's passed the whole bank check thing. He's writing a personal check now.
Yeah. So Geico issued checks in the name of the dealership and my wife. So my wife has to sign all of those checks that they sent to the dealership in order for them to cash them. And we also have to give them a $500 deductible, but they needed it to be from her account because the names have to match. I don't know why they did this. I don't know why they did. Some, both of our names are on the insurance, so I'm not really sure why they did this. But anyway, this is the shit we're in.
You're at the final stage, my friend.
Yeah.
They got to take a little bit. Exactly.
Let's just get this done. So we go to the dealership, and they pull up all the paperwork, blah, blah, blah. And then the woman who is handling the transactions with the checks gives us the contract, which is like basically a breakdown, itemized breakdown of what they did with the car. And she's like, just sign this. And I'm like, just sign this? No, I don't just sign anything. Anything I'm putting my name on,
right?
We're reading because we want to know what we're signing. And if that's how you sign contracts, I suggest that you don't do that. Like, she was just being real rude, as if I didn't understand what she was handing me. And that's why I had to read it.
Here, put your mark on it. Put your mark on it, nigger.
Put your
black
right.
paw on it. Put your ass
fingerprints on it. You're used
put
to
your paw
it.
On it. Put your paw on it. Put your fucking paw on it.
Oh, my God.
But I would not be deterred. I need to get this car out of this place.
Oh, my God.
So in the waiting room, they have an area just outside where they pull up the cars. And then you can get into your vehicle. And I walk outside, and the first thing that I see is the rear driver's side quarter panel is missing a piece of the plastic.
What?
And the car is filthy. I
told
like,
you that. My aunt told me to tell you to make sure they clean your car.
You said it on. You said it quite a few times on the podcast.
You did. Yeah. But this is the first time I'm laying my eyes on the car. I'm like,
serious?
Wow.
Serious?
I said, bro, what is going on here? Why is this missing? And the car is absolutely filthy. So there's the guy who's in the service department who's handling my case. He comes over and he looks dumbfounded. Like, he doesn't understand why this is happening. He's like, oh, that part was on back order, but I believe that it came in. So I don't really know why it's like this. Let me go talk to the guys. So they pull the car. They take the car back. It's gone again. They've now taken it to whatever area they go to do this stuff.
Area 51.
And they put the part on them. They wash it. It wasn't a detail, but they washed it. It was clean. It looked new. It looked like I was driving it out of the showroom for the first time. That was good enough for me. But then another guy comes back and he's like, oh, there was a part over there that I wanted to do a compound on. Take 5 minutes. I'll be right back. Meanwhile, my wife is like, she had to go now because she has to have her first session with her client. And so she's going to go back to the house. So I'm waiting there another 10 minutes, finally get in the car. And it's like an old friend. Like, I've missed you. I've missed you so much. I really like this car.
Really?
I really like this car.
I missed you, Alric.
It helps.
Should I direct you to some granola? I haven't had granola between my seats from your children in months. Where are the kids, Alric?
So now I'm going to fast forward to Saturday morning. So I almost missed my flight. Like, I literally was minutes away from being unable to check in. That curb check-in is everything. Because you give that guy out there $15, he'll type in whatever you want. He'll do whatever you want
to go
do.
Where? Mall. Whatever, nigga.
You tap that shit in. Override. So that was cool. Made my flight. But then I was gone for a week, and so nobody had really been using the car because we also still had the rental. So my wife was just moving it from, you know, alternate side or whatever. She wasn't driving the kids around. My mother-in-law was taking the kids to school for the week. So then Saturday morning rolls around, and the kids are finally getting in the car, and I let them in the back, and then they're like, Daddy, look at this. And apparently, I don't know what you'd call it. So the air conditioning ducts and the charger ports behind the armrest in the back seat was off.
What do you mean off?
What did that have to off. Do with repairing was, the car?
It was, I have no idea. Why would you even take that off? Why would that need to come off?
Maybe there's some sort of sensor in there.
The shit was off. I tried to put it back on. It wasn't working. I don't know where the clips and stuff and whatever. It kept, just kept falling off.
Hold up. Oh, that problem. Yeah. We got your car confused with a drug dealer. We were putting a stash spot there. We totally fucked up. Sorry.
Innocent mistake.
Innocent.
Yeah, that's the upside. I do have a stash box now. If you hate to drive something, interstate.
Oh my God.
It's going to cost you more if I got to get you to Florida.
So now I'm really pissed. I'm like, who inspected? That means that no one inspected this car before they gave it back to me. Those three problems told me directly that this dealership did not give a shit about the repairs. So now I got to keep an eye out for anything that's wrong, and I got to inspect it myself.
First of all, I go back. Was probably done 3 weeks ago, and yeah. They've been probably switching out parts as they needed for more urgent repairs. So
you just pulling shit off my car.
Just pulling shit off your car. That's been sitting around. I mean, we might.
That's why your shit. They just threw the back thing that whatever that shit is. They just threw that from a Subaru and Impreza. That's not even your shit. They took that shit from the. Your shit is a what shit? They took it from the Land's End one. Your shit's Eddie Bauer, whatever fuck. They took that shit. Them niggas took. Actually, that's from a Honda Civic. That's not even for your car.
They made it work.
Well, fuck. They don't give a fuck, man.
They don't give a fuck.
Just take it from that car over there. That nigga, he'll never know the difference.
What?
Yo, that's horrible.
It is. It really is.
The fuck is that? Like, this. Yo, they had just shit that long, and they kept playing the games with the money. And I think L is right. They were doing some shady shit up in there, man.
Maybe. You know, that's how collision goes. Mm. That's how these body shops go. Like, we know of a scammer that was getting extra money for every accident and extras on his car.
Of course.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Of course.
I get that. But the amount of money that they got from this accident, you should be looking at that car, inspecting it from head to toe.
Look,
making sure it's
super right here.
But it's been there so the car long. Is special to you. To them,
the car.
It's just another car.
They're like, listen, this fucking Subaru right here, this guy's going to give me 17 fucking grand in parts and labor.
Yeah. So what?
Even
he just got his,
even
his, if, his
even
daughter, if, braces.
Well, I'm saying that if this is how you treat any other car, that means your level of service is shit.
Oh, I concur.
I need to go to another dealership. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
The thing is, with that particular Subaru dealership, whoever they're subletting their work to, they're only obligated to find someone that can do the work, quote unquote. They're going for the cheapest fucking shop in the neighborhood. We don't know how their organization is ran as far as do they have to take a low bid contract or that's what they're obligated to do or they have or somewhere in their bylaws it's like, oh, we get the work. Yeah, we're going to get someone to do the work for us, but it ain't going to be the best body shop in the city. You know,
my guess is that the body shop is probably owned by the people who own the dealership. That would just be smart.
It's their cousin.
Right. Because that would just be
family.
Smart business. But that's what I was banking on. That I was banking on them having such a great relationship with the body shop that they would be able to get this thing done. And the dealership is going to take care of their part of it. But so I go back there this morning and the kids are off from school this week. So I had them with me. And to them, we're going on an adventure. They're like, yeah, we go to the car in the ship. Whatever. So we get there. Oh,
that,
and...
oh, that is a smash the coffee machine out of anger.
Daddy, wild the fuck out.
That's what I'm thinking. Just let them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Hey, you kids want to jump on that couch? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You own it.
Yep. We get there and... we don't have an appointment. We just pull in. And apparently, my case is now famous at this dealership because of all the shenanigans and the time and me calling and bitching.
Oh, my God, he's back.
Security. So it's like, what's your last name? Campbell. Oh, Campbell.
That one. Yes. It's finally, nice to meet you.
All right. So they take the car and they get it right to the first technician that's available. He's digging around in the back. I'm standing inside the service area behind the door. My son's flirting with the woman who took the keys. Yeah, my son is definitely, he's definitely hetero. And then behind me, a guy walks out of the enclosed office and is talking to the woman at the counter. And I guess he was inquiring about who I was, you know, what was going on or whatever. And she didn't know my business. But then he was introduced himself, Andrew, the service department manager. So great to meet you. I've been trying to get in touch with you. Let me tell you about all this shit that's been going on. I don't know whose fault it is, but whoever it is, they fucked up.
Get them.
So I laid out all of this stuff, and I'm doing it in, you know, in my, hey, as a matter of fact, my matter of fact white guy voice.
Oh, not the Ned Flanders.
Yeah, I gave him the Ned Flanders.
My Subaru.
Wait, was it Ned Flanders or was it Talib Kweli on American Airlines?
I used Talib, yeah. It wasn't quite Ned Flanders because right. I wasn't apologetic at all. All right. Like, I was letting him know all of the facts, figures, and details about who, I don't know who's fucking up here. But somebody is fucking up here, and you guys need to know that. So apparently, this thing can't just snap back on because they broke the clips. Mm-hmm. Whoever took this off for no fucking reason, because it has nothing to do with what was wrong with the car, broke the clips. And he's all, you know what? We're going to order the parts. We'll take care of it. We'll take care of it.
You know what?
He didn't mention anything about me having to pay for any parts, labor, nothing. I'm glad you didn't say that.
But you know what it is?
Because
you know what it is? Like El said, your car was sitting there. Another car came in that had a broken one. They switched the parts, put that shit in there, and thought you would notice somehow, or was like, oh shit, you got to order the parts.
It was laying on the back.
But you did notice.
Oh, the car wasn't for your kids.
That could have been there for weeks.
They noticed it when they washed it. Right. Listen, they noticed it when they washed it.
For sure.
And cleaned it out. And they probably were under the assumption, well, this shit must have been like this when they brought it in. Because the guys that's washing the car don't know anything other than the car's got to be washed.
Absolutely.
Right? And it has to be cleaned out.
They would not be like, hey, sir, did you notice that?
Yeah.
There would be none of that.
I noticed that this is detached. The clips seem to be broken as well, sir. They're not going to tell you shit.
Nope. That's not
they probably
a problem.
More had it. They probably more had it.
That washed in there.
You know, you ever as a kid, like, you break something in the house and you just put it together well enough that as soon as somebody else touch it, it breaks. Now, you fucked up. You probably
even
wedged it in there hoping that it wouldn't get kicked by kids. But
let me tell you something. They took that shit from somebody had the same model of make as your car. They took a broken one out of their car and switched it out because that's how bad the parts are right now. You told them, 5-6 months for a Subaru to get some fucking part for your car? And then they do a half-ass job putting the shit back together?
That would be really shitty. And if you did that, Subaru, fuck you.
I don't doubt it.
Here's the silver lining. So in total, I've gotten $500 from Subaru America cash.
Cha-ching.
And $400 in service credit.
Cha-ching.
Free inspections, free, I don't know what else.
Granola.
Oil. Yeah. All free granola.
Lap dances from hippies.
For a little while. For at least the next year.
Nice.
For at least the next year, that'll take care of the service. And, you know. Yeah, they put me through it, but the car is back, and
I'm glad the saga has ended.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
And you've been reunited with your vehicle and your family. It's been reunited with the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. We had 6 months. 6 months.
That's pretty amazing.
I missed you, Alaric.
There is one thing I sort of miss about having that Nissan Rogue it has that 360 camera feature.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can, at any point, push the camera button and see any of those cameras.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I liked having the front-facing camera. Because you can see, you'll never hit another, parked car while parallel parking. Because you can see every angle.
Yeah.
And that, so we'll see when I trade this one in now. That is my check-in.
All right. Well, thank you.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Vin from Decoding 40 letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it. Decoding40Pod.com.
Decoding40Pod.com.
So my check-in last week, this is Black History Month. Oh, first off, I have to correct myself. Apparently, I was reading some fake news, and I was told by my sister-in-law, Nikemi, that Beyonce tickets were not that expensive. That was resellers who were selling the tickets at that exorbitant price, not the actual venues.
Okay. So what was the face value of the ticket?
Probably around $150, $200, somewhere around.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah. So people are getting gouged somewhere. Gotcha. This is America. Believe
my mother, sister-in-law, cousin, brother, and them got the tickets. This is going to be like $2,000, though.
But Nikemi got her tickets. She's going to go see the Renaissance tour. So I'm glad that she is going, and I hope she has an amazing time. So with that said, where do I start? So this is Black History Month. My mother-in-law convinces my wife to convince me and the boys to take this walking tour on the history of Africans in New York in the financial district.
Wow. Oh, that's dope.
It was on Saturday morning. I was like, I'm already exhausted from this week because I've been trying to get all types of work done. So we go. Immediately, I'm like, I'm glad we're here. It is some of the best information that I have. And this is someone, I've taken a New York history course in college. And in 2 hours, I got more information than I did in 16 weeks. And this was a free tour. So City College owes me whatever it called schools.
Who does the tour?
I believe, I meant to make sure, but I believe it's called Inside Out Tours. They essentially do these free tours. There's some tours in Brooklyn, there's some tours in Manhattan, and they try to provide history that's untold and offer different perspectives about what has been told. And one of the things that they did for me was put into context how impactful slavery was in New York City. And I had heard about this before, but I forgot. Do you guys know where Foley Square is in Manhattan downtown, where all the courthouses are?
Yes.
So Foley Square was the site of hanging of Black people who had revolted against slavery.
Wow.
And it's bizarre to know that that's the history of that area. And then there's another section on Water Street and Wall Street, which is the actual site of where Black people were sold and bought or leased by the owners. And just all of this information was so just crazy for me. So she introduced me to three men that I had not heard of. The first is Thomas Downing, who was incredibly industrious Black man. So basically, everybody knows about the food carts and the hot dog stands here. Back in late or mid 1800s, oysters were the main food. So instead of a hot dog stand, there would be oysters. So it would be either fried or grilled. And so he became so bad with it that he wound up creating making a shop in a restaurant. And the restaurant was so renowned that it became the spot for white folks to go to. And even he would ship his food over to England, and the Queen of England at the time, whoever she was, wound up sending him a gold watch because
I love these oysters.
Because his food was so amazing. How it maintained a couple of months, I have no idea.
That's what I was about. I was about to ask,
right. I don't know how he preserved it.
Right. Which would have been
a
question for me to ask. But he was just a man. And then in that, all the money that he got, he's still in his restaurant. Below his restaurant was a housing station on the Underground Railroad. So you have all these white people who are eating there, not knowing that beneath their feet...
He's sneaking niggas.
Basically. Risking life, limb, and financial...
Let me tell you something. Them white folks knew he was sneaking black folks, but no, the oysters were so good.
Killed him. They would have killed
them. Them oysters were so good.
I would hope to... I would like to think so, but...
I want
to
turn
sure
it in, but these oysters are delicious.
Because they wanted to know that he was a good Negro.
Yeah, you do such a great oyster.
So the other guy that she introduced me to was James McCune Smith, who was the first doctor in America who went through traditional training. And he also was an abolitionist and was helping several black people to find their way to freedom, or Africans to freedom. And it's just remarkable that these men risked themselves in such a way while also being like the creme de la creme in terms of high society and breaking barriers. And so there was another brother, David Riggles. And this is really one of the most amazing stories that she told. So there was this law that if a slaveholder brought you to New York, they had like maybe 9 months before they had to renew your slave contract because you couldn't have a slave in New York. But they made this exception in New York that if you were out of town, you could basically be like, yo, I'm out of town. I need the slave. So I need a 9 month, you know, kind of grace period. But you would have to renew your paper before the 9 months was up because otherwise that person would go free. So Riggles was documenting when people would get to New York, where they were, and then if the time expired, would go to the house and be like, yo, 9 months is up, you got to let them go. So apparently he was
a whistleblower.
He was a big-time whistleblower, and he was not very popular, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Here comes that Rickles again, meddling in our white business.
Meddling again.
Who does this nigga think he is? Trying to free all slaves. They don't know how to read the calendar.
So there's one popular person that Riggles winds up helping who this gentleman marries his wife. He gets fake papers, makes his way to New York. Riggles hides him for months away from the kidnappers. And I forgot what they were called, but basically it was a team of people.
The police.
Basically police. But they would kidnap black people if they were free or not and take them back down south. So Riggles hides this person. This gentleman eventually goes further up north into Massachusetts and turns out to be Frederick Douglass.
Wow.
So the connection of all these people and how they were trying to fight the craziness of slavery. And one thing that she actually put in context that was really important for me is when a lot of the pushback or the argument against, well, everybody had slavery when they talk about, you know, why are we getting so uproarious about slavery in America? Slavery in America was the first time slavery was connected to one's DNA in the sense that you're a slave because you are predestined to be that. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, it would be you lost a war, you owe a debt. All things not connected with who you are as a human being.
And then also in the pretense, the slavery condition was usually, especially if it was a debt situation, you worked off a debt and you were free.
Exactly.
It was an indentured servitude until I've paid my debt to you for 7 years, I'm leaving.
Right.
And no, this was different.
And so here, and then there was also the other element that that slavery was connected to your mother versus your father.
Right.
Because it's most likely that your mother is not a landowner. Mm-hmm. And so she would not have the rights or the powers to free you anyway. So as soon as you pop out the womb, you're a slave or you're enslaved. So it was a fascinating tour. We actually wound up going to the African burial ground. And I didn't even know this existed, but there's a museum right there. So all in all, I was very happy that we went. It's incredibly informative. I'm going to probably take more time to get down to that museum. Surprisingly, my kids actually enjoyed it. The first 5 minutes, they were like, nah, son. But then after a while, they kind of got into it, which was cool to see. But even like, I would say probably hour two, they kind of connected and tuned in. The first hour, they were like, whatever. But yeah, I encourage everybody, if you're in New York, look up this company, Inside Out Tours. They do magnificent tours, and I'll probably try to take the one in Brooklyn as well. That's it.
We need to share that information because I want to go on that tour.
I don't know. It sounds a lot of wokeness and everything like that. It's
it's hella wokeness. And it's funny.
I don't feel comfortable with it.
There's this thing that I'm trying to decipher in my mind. I'm calling it right now the racial cloak, where certain people can't see black people for some reason. That we actually, that our skin
yes.
is a cloak, and they just move by us and push by us, and there's literally something that they can't see.
Mm. Especially when we're standing in line at a register.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're all kind of around this section in Lower Manhattan, and where she's talking, and the tour guide is talking, and this group of, let's say, white people come around and they stand right behind us, and they're talking so loud, they are talking above her. But we've been standing there for at least 5 minutes. And then they start taking pictures through us. And I'm like,
you are furniture.
Hey,
I thought you guys were a dance group. I thought you were going to start dancing. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I thought you guys were a flash mob.
When I tell you, we were standing on one side. So there's one gentleman, he has the camera. He's standing behind us. This group of people move on the other side of us. He's standing in the middle of us, taking a picture across the walkway as if he's a part of our group now. And I'm saying to myself, all right, I'm not going to go off, because if I go off, it's just going to be crazy. But my wife did wind up saying, hey, we can't hear. Can you lower your voices? And they did. But then they proceeded to start taking pictures as if we were part of the scenery. It is a bizarre way of thinking.
Get the blacks in the background.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yo, man,
it's crazy.
New York, real quick, New York doesn't have the same energy it used to have. Even when you drive through it, it's something different about New York that I don't appreciate at all. I just don't appreciate it. There's a red light, speed camera everywhere. It's just the whole energy of New York right now is just,
we are a global city that is trying to attract everyone, and that means it has to be as safe as possible, or at least has to be perceived as safe.
But it's not, though.
but perception is more powerful than reality.
We used to be a city of scofflaws and outlaws.
Oh, absolutely.
And, that was when it was fun.
Then Giuliani happened.
Yeah.
Giuliani time, all right?
One thing she did point out, that New York has always been, and particularly Manhattan, has always been about making money from its inception.
Yeah.
There should be no confusion about that. It is always been about means. Making that dollar bill, all that wampum back in the day. Mm. Just say one other thing. Whole Foods is now asking customers to type in their birth date when buying alcohol. I don't know if this is legal or appropriate.
Why?
So if you buy, if you're in a checkout, and which I usually am, and I'm buying beer, which I usually am, you have to ask the clerk to put in their ID in order for you to proceed.
Right.
But then now they've adopted this new process where it's, can you put in your own birth date? So, but they don't check my ID.
Yeah. So a kid can come in there and buy alcohol.
Exactly. This seems like there's a lot of liability.
There's no check.
Yeah. No. Literally, they will say, put your ID in and walk away. Or put your birthday in and then walk away.
Yeah. Anybody on the borderline of 21 can go in there. Especially if you got a beard, you can go in there with a hat on and get that fucking.
Is that self-checkout card only?
Yes.
I bet it's linked to your credit card or your profile. Because big data is collecting all of this information. And now as soon as you stick your card in.
Pause. That wasn't pause, William. I just felt right so.
I was just like, whoa. I don't know.
Can't even stick cards anywhere. Jesus Christ. It's a card.
I just noticed we hadn't said pause this show. I just needed, but go ahead.
it probably relates back to you. So maybe if you're
what if my son says, I tell my son, hey, pick me up a six pack, and he puts in my...
And you give him your card?
Yeah, and he puts in my birthday.
He's walking out of there with a six-pack.
Yeah.
With his card or yours?
Well, it ain't any different than card. When you was a kid.
With your card? Father, you probably was getting a six-pack.
Just struck me as...
a little crazy.
Yeah, not the best business practice. There was one other thing. I want to give a shout-out to Cindy Williams, who passed away a couple weeks ago. She was definitely the first white woman I had a crush on television for. And it was sad to see that she's passed away. I think she was 75 at the time of her death. So rest in peace, Cindy Williams. And Penny Marshall's still alive. So one half of Laverne and Shirley still was on the planet. So
you were crushing on
oh,
sure,
big time.
Okay, I'm not going to judge you.
I mean, even if you did, I wouldn't care.
The way she handled those sodas and
that Flamil, Flamazzo.
I really loved it.
I mean, she was okay. All right.
She was cute.
You like that little
in, I guess it was certain way.
Yeah, she was cute.
I was more
nigga, don't judge my white crush.
I know, right?
I was more Joni Cunningham sort of
Joni Cunningham.
Linda Carter.
Well, Linda Carter is not white though, so
she's not?
No, Linda Carter's not
Mexican.
White.
She's Latino.
Get the fuck out of here. I never knew that. I thought she was my white crush, but
no, sorry.
Latina. All right. Good.
All right. So wait, what did you
Marilyn think about? Monroe is actually Latina.
What'd you think about Chrissy from Three's Company?
The one with the black hair, right?
No, the blonde.
The blonde? She was, you know. She's...
I was never really into blondes. I was more into really? Brunettes. Yeah.
You
what
like
about
that?
Janet could have gotten it over and over.
Really?
Yeah.
You know who my other one was? Jacqueline Smith. Remember Jacqueline Smith?
Yeah, with the long
Charlie's
brunette.
Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
We sound ridiculous right now. You know that.
It's okay. This is Leon.
Nobody knows who any of these people are, probably.
It's fine.
If you're under 35, you have no idea.
You're like, who? What? Who are these white women? This is Leo, and that's my check-in, and I'm done speaking. Welcome back to another segment of What's the Scenario?
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
All right, so we haven't done this in a while, but we're going to get into What's the Scenario. And this week... Actually, I don't need to read it. I know what this is about. And it's not really a letter, but it's literally a scenario. So this husband and wife have two kids. And when they need additional support, and I thought this would be interesting for you, Allery, particularly, they call his mother-in-law to watch the kids. The mother-in-law is now demanding that they pay her to watch the kids. And this is not like, you know, a little something to get her, you know, take care of gas or whatever. She wants to be actually paid a regular stipend to watch their kids.
How much?
That's the question.
How much are we talking here?
He doesn't say the amount, but it gives the impression that it's a couple of $100.
A week?
Yeah.
You got it.
What again? I don't know. Like,
okay,
I don't know what
what's your threshold? What's your threshold?
Let's say
she says,
because of comparison,
$1,000 a week to watch her kids.
No, I'm not paying you $1,000 a week to wash my kids because I can get it cheaper. So kick rocks.
Kick rocks. What were you going to say?
I was going to say it's all what's the word I'm looking for?
Relative.
Because $200 to you right now is like, hell yeah, watch these little motherfuckers. But to $200 to someone who, you know, who's not making that type of money, that's a lot to ask for, you know, especially, you know, my situation. I'm trying to make this thing happen right now. So,
childcare in this city is so expensive.
It's right.
Expensive. Fucking, yeah.
What I thought was impressive upon me in terms of wanting to get your thoughts was she was demanding this, not asking having a conversation.
I can see a scenario where people, because I've seen where people have taken that mother-in-law or that father-in-law for granted and, you know, leave the kid, go about their business. Don't, no checking in, no, you know, letting them know I'm going to be home. And you think you're single again. You think you're free again. You think like, you're
I just dropped that little motherfucker off with his grandma.
We don't have that sort of scenario. But my mother-in-law has been very instrumental in us being able to get to do the things that we're able to do, because if she wasn't helping us out, it would have been a bigger struggle. Like my mom lives 30 minutes away from us, at least on good traffic. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law lives 10 minutes away from us. Mm-hmm. So if there's ever a thing, she's jumping in. She's, you know, when I'm on the road, she's taking the kids to school at 7:30 in the morning.
Wow. That's a lot.
You know, if we had to pay for that, I mean, if she said, I need X amount, I mean, what can we say? Because
as long as it's reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think she, you know, but I see where Ella's coming from, because you have some mother-in-laws, and we've seen the TikToks and the Instagram videos and the reels of just like, just because you had a baby and I fucked that.
Right.
A knife it. You want me to watch that motherfucker? You got to give me $300 a week, nigga, and a fifth of Jack Daniels. You know, like, we've seen that ghetto shit.
Right.
Too.
Right. Right. Right.
Right. So, you know, and then it all depends on how you're asking, because if you're on the extreme end of, I need this money because fuck it, I'm being greedy and I can give a fuck about your kids. You know what I mean? So there's a spectrum there. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? And then it all depends if you can afford it. And it's it sounds like what Ella's talking about is some woman who, you know, is just on some greedy shit. And
yeah, I felt like the impression, and I'm trying to find it real quick, but I got the impression,
you know, cause if
she was strong arming them and she realized that they were in a tight spot and was like, yeah, you're gonna have to pay me if
big
right
mama.
Like, they, like, she wanted a flat rate, like,
and I ain't taking checks either, nigga.
Right, like, if you want me to watch these kids, I need this amount of money, period. I don't want to hear no I'm short this week. You gotta cash app me before I,
you know what cash app is? Big mama bucks. Dollar sign, nigga.
You're not paying me when you get paid. I need the money right now. Lord, you need me at the house.
Big mama bucks. It's
a resource that is, look, if this is a relative, grandparent that you can trust, that your kids are going to be safe, they're going to be fed well. I mean, what can you do? You have to pay it, because the alternative is sending them to a stranger who you have no idea what sort of traumas they've had in their lives.
Yeah.
You already know what you're dealing with.
True that.
I hear you. I when I saw that, and I knew that, well, at least I felt from the way he was framing the question that there was a lot of tension behind what was happening with the requests for his mother-in-law to watch the kids. And it's not his.
But also, does she need the money?
He doesn't say that. I think what he basically intimates is that she's saying, if you want me to watch your kids, here's my rate.
That's a little crazy. You know, I just to be that presumptuous, like, oh, here's my rate. I get time and a half on weekends. Okay?
Right. Like, that type.
Anything after 7 o'clock, my rate goes up $25.
Right.
These are my night rates. I mean, we were lucky.
Like, granny got night rates.
We were lucky because, you know, unfortunately, lost both her grandparents relatively young. So Aunt Michelle, we affectionately call her, I'll just say Aunt Michelle, she stepped in, friend of the family who stepped in and really helped us out in times when we needed to, you know, for someone to watch her at night or for us to have a date night, sometimes even during the day after school because one of us were busy or running late from work. So, and she never asked for a dime. You know, but we always, like, you know, Christmas time and things like that, let's, you know, we bring her, you know, bring her stuff and packages and, you know, gifts. But we were lucky because, like you say, Rick, you know, just doing something like that costs a lot of money nowadays.
Yeah.
To have someone pick up your child from school and take them to a place that's safe. That's a $200 or $300 bill right there. Easily.
For sure.
You know?
So y'all okay with paying the flat rate for coverage from
Big Mama Bucks at Cash App? I mean, you know,
I mean, I think there needs to be more detail about the story, because I'm filling in my circumstance, right?
Yeah.
With just the framework of what you gave us, I'm filling in with my circumstance, and I'm like, that doesn't sound too bad. But there might be some other factors involved in why they're upset about having to pay grandmother.
Like, again, I think the only thing that sort of is frustrating him is the sense that these are her grandkids, but she won't watch them unless they pay.
Like, if it's something that you rarely have to, like, if she's the grandparent that they don't go to on a regular and is on some, oh, you haven't seen Grandma, you know, Grandma Smith in a long time, so let's go see Grandma Smith. And the only way she's going to see her kids is or watch them, you know, for a weekend or whatever, is if she gets paid. That's a little crazy. But if she's someone that they're constantly going to, that's the well they always go to, then she's probably frustrated because there may, the other side of the story is that they've been dropping the kids off all willy-nilly and not having any consideration for Big Mom and her having fun with the deacon, right?
Even if we think about seniors being on a fixed income, right? Mm-hmm. And you just drop your kids off and kids...
And them little hungry motherfuckers eat everything.
No. I think he was saying that he takes care of the... He and his wife take care of the food. They're okay with giving her a little extra money, but she's like, no, you got to pay me to take care of these kids. Now, maybe they some badass kids.
Probably some badass kids.
And maybe they
breaking the TV.
Right, wrecking her house every time they come over, and she's got to deal with that. I just thought it was interesting that the idea that she was asking for a flat rate or your kids can't come over here.
She needs the money.
Obviously.
She needs the money.
Them little motherfuckers probably eat all Doritos.
We have retirement set up.
All the time.
She could use a little extra money.
I just bought a goddamn loaf of bread this morning. Where the fuck is all the bread? Man, TT. Who ate all the goddamn chicken muggets? Chicken buckets. God damn it.
Yeah.
Let me flip the question a little bit. Would you charge your kids to watch your grandkids?
Would you charge?
And under what circumstances would you charge your kids to watch your grandkids?
I would have to really be broke.
I don't see it.
And like, baby girl, I can watch that little motherfucker, but you got to give me some money.
Like, that's how I see myself talking if I had to actually ask my child for money like that. Like, that's where I'm at in life, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've passed everything. I've lost everything.
Baby girl, I can watch that little motherfucker, but you got to pay me some money because, I mean.
You're asking her to watch your grandkid even though she doesn't.
You want me to watch this little motherfucker? You got to pay me some money.
That's where I'm at. Like,
oh, my God.
Cash App Choo-Choo.
I don't think it's part of the tradition of the community that I grew up
in. Yeah, it's the other way around.
That's unheard of.
Like, my grandparents.
I know people who have had their relatives or grandparent move in with them. And that was sort of the payment arrangement, but not like, you know, this is my rate. I mean, I feel like if you're retired, what else are you going to do? If you're retired.
Right.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe not. But that's what I'm saying.
I don't have a problem with
the parent's circumstance.
And also, you know, grandma could be 45 years old. Okay.
I don't think she is, but you're right.
Grandma could be 45 years old, still have a life. I'm out here fucking still. I'm sorry. I'm not watching your kids unless you're paying me.
Really? So you think age has something to do with it too?
Hell yes, it does. Hell yes, it does. If grandma is still young, you're talking about, you got young grandmas out here, right? You got grandmas our age. Yeah, and younger, right?
All right, maybe we have started a new revolution, but I guess I'm with you guys. I can't see me charging my sons to watch my grandkids. But I wish she would have added more detail into the context as to why she's asking to be paid a flat rate. Yeah. But there it is. That is the scenario.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
What have you guys learned this week?
I learned that there's all different types of people that take Uber. And I met this couple that took to the airport. One guy was from Boston. His wife was a professor, and they're probably going to be listening to Decoding 40. We made a connection. We started talking about the podcast, and their son happens to work for CNN or something like that. I'm going to let my son know about your podcast. He's a big wig, Cap. Right? You said Cap?
They gave a good tip, by the way. They gave a good tip. But I said, oh, go ahead, listen to the podcast. And she looked it up on her phone. She's like, I have it right here. I'm going to listen to it on the phone. I wanted to say, why don't you wait until you get out of my car? Because more than likely, if you pick an episode, we said something offensive. It's going to offend you.
She's like, nice.
You know, you've got a great voice. I can't wait to listen. I'm like, well, okay, you can wait. Get on the plane first.
What's happening in your Uber?
Nothing. I just, you know, I have conversations with people, man. And some people are, you know, pretty decent human beings. And I find that I'm doing a lot more drug transactions nowadays. People take Uber to do drug transactions.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is that extra?
This is my impression of her son at when she sends him the podcast.
Go.
Mom, I told you, I work in the IT department. I have nothing to do with what's on the TV. Stop sending me these things. Please, Mom, stop it.
Yeah, you're being generous. I was thinking he was like one of the patrons that moves the people through the CNN Turner broadcasting station.
He wears a red jacket.
This way, sir.
He wears a red jacket with a fucking radio.
I'm so proud of him. He works at CNN. Up.
Yeah, I got two people at the front desk. Go with that, Robin.
And here's the food pavilion.
That's a Robin. We got a spill over here, Lonnie. Lonnie, we got a spill here. The Roger that I'm coming to spill.
Really well, Lom. They love me at work.
Ronnie, get your ass over here. Get off that fucking phone.
They told you no phone. Ronnie. Wow.
Oh, man.
That's
but funny. No, all jokes aside, you know, I meet a lot of good people, so it's got its perks.
Dope. Rick, what did you learn?
Please inspect your vehicle thoroughly before you leave the dealership. Thoroughly. Inside and out. Back seat, front seat.
Hold on.
Under the seat, on top of the seat.
You know what's crazy? Is like a fucking four-year-old. No, your daughter is seven, right?
No, she's six.
She's six. A six-year-old saw that.
And there's a
dealership full of adults.
Mm. Yep.
You should be ashamed of yourself, super rude. You should be ashamed. You really should be.
Should you get it?
That should be the new sticker.
You should be the fucking inspector.
Right.
That's the new sticker. Inspected by a six-year-old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Call her a check control. Right now.
Yeah.
Give my daughter a check for finding out your fuck up.
Oh, my God. All right. So what I learned actually didn't happen on the show, but last week, my family and I drove another Tesla down to Maryland. And on our way back, I learned that there is such thing as vampire drain on the battery. And the distance in which we were able to travel reduced exponentially, like where we should have made it back to New Jersey or at George Washington Bridge. We didn't even make it another 50 miles. So I don't know what happened. We had some kind of settings that were kind of draining the battery, but we stopped. We wound up stopping in Plainsfield. Well, Plainsview, one of the towns. Mm-hmm. I think it's Plainsfield. Is it Plainsfield, New Jersey?
Plainfield. There's a Plainfield.
Plainfield. And we were fiddling with the settings and got it right and made it back to the city with more than enough electricity. But other than that, I still am in love with this vehicle. That said, thank you everyone for taking time to listen to this show. We appreciate you. We are literally streaming in, I think, every continent except Antarctica. So that is an absolute attribution, or what do I want to say, attributed to all of you who are sharing the show and are just either sharing with your friends and your family and just spreading the word. We appreciate it. It is helping us grow, but to even help us grow further, please support us by purchasing some merch and continuing to purchase merch at decoding40pod.com. Send us your pithy, your supportive, or your negative comments by text or call to 619-940-4040, or send us an email, or you could even send us a snail mail, but I won't give out that address. The email is decoding40@gmail.com. This is Decoding 40. I am your host, L.O. I have been joined with Vincent Perez and Alaric Campbell. gentlemen, any other parting words that you would like to share?
That was beautiful. Peace.
Peace.
All right, cool. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.
Tune in this and every Friday via your favorite platform for a new episode of Decoding 40.
Go to www.decoding40.com. Make sure you sign up so you can keep following us.
But don't keep it to yourself. Spread the word.
Thank you for listening to Decoding 40, goddammit.